Welcome to the Real Presence, Real Future podcast. I'm Father Mike Harchi. I'm here with Father Sizemore, Father Dave. Thanks for being with me again.
Great being here again.
Father Dave's the pastor at Newark St. Francis and one of our regional Episcopal vicars. And you're doing a lot of work with Real Presence, Real Future. So it's always good to come on here and have a conversation with you and about your area. Can you start us off with our prayer for mission renewal?
Let's do it. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. God, our Father, we entrust Real Presence, Real Future to your providence. Through your Holy Spirit, inspire us with mission and for mission and evangelization. Make us disciples after the heart of your Son. In times of uncertainty, grant firm resolve. When we are unsettled, provide peace. When we are timid, make us courageous. With our ears, may we hear your promptings. With our eyes, may we see your handiwork. With our mouths, may we share the gospel. And with our hearts, may we serve you. Replace our hesitation with holy enthusiasm, so that in drawing strength from the Eucharist, every endeavor of ours may be for your glory. We ask this through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thanks, Father Dave. So in some of these recent podcasts, I've been talking with the vicars about some of the feedback that's been coming in since the second round draft models. Of the feedback for the second round survey closed on June 30th. You know, we had an incredible response this time. About 17% of Mass goers, you know, responded. So about a little over 8,300 surveys. And for us too, so... I mean, that's a lot to read. So it's not only that we're reading it, but the commission members are reading it over. The pastors themselves, they're getting the raw feedback for their parish. And as we get this, we can see, you know, so in, you know, Four North, we're going to talk a little bit about Four North, which includes like Holmes County, Tuscarawas County, that area.
Sure.
We can see that people in like question number one, what strongest aspects about this model? 123 people answered it, 73 people skipped it. So we can see that too, that like not every single person answered every single question. You know, with 10 kind of open-ended questions, we were expecting that. We wanted to give people plenty of time and space to be able to respond to these models. And some of the responses, honestly, there are things like, so with that question, what's strongest about this? They'll say, I don't like this model. I don't feel like this model has any strong aspects. Okay, well, thanks for that honesty, but that gives people an idea. So those are some of the comments that we hear. And then we do hear some other things that we kind of give some more consideration. And some people might even say, so this, what's strongest about this? Well, this model tries to address the shortage of priests and diminishing parishioners. It deserves an A for effort. So yeah. Acknowledging that we have not we posted, sent out, I guess, all the information that we have, trying to share with people the facts and here's the projections for the future and get their comments on it. So it's always good to kind of hear people kind of acknowledge that and like that, you know, A for effort or whatever. So they, you know, they see the diocese trying. Mm-hmm. And as you and I know, we're trying to be transparent. So one thing I wanted to get to, this is from a parishioner in Four North group, particularly Sacred Heart, New Philadelphia. So this person said, this shouldn't be happening. Many churches have one pastor who shares his testimony through technology to reach many buildings. Why can't the Catholic Church do the same? And that's good for us to hear. And I like that is coming from our parishioners. It's an opportunity for some catechesis. We were doing a little bit of that during COVID, live streaming masses when people weren't obligated and actually, and for some of that time, you know, couldn't come to Mass. So why is that? Why can't we just do things virtually? Yeah. Let people watch in their homes, you know, sit back and just get a Sunday message or something like that. What's the importance of Sunday Mass and what we do together?
Yeah, I mean, we certainly got a little taste of that during COVID, but that was in extraordinary circumstances, which we, you know, were confined to our homes and people were working from home and so on. And I understand too, I think I understand that people are comparing some Protestant models out there or, you know, some non-denominational models. But you got to remember that a big difference for us as Catholics has always been the Eucharist. that a lot of us, while we were able to live stream, we did not have access to the Eucharist as we normally do. And I don't know about you, but, you know, me being a pastor of Brandon Parish, I know that that was the number one complaint of our parishioners during that period, is that they didn't have access to the Eucharist. They couldn't receive the Eucharist, okay? So now, you know, just according to this one question, the proposal is, well, why can't we go to that model? But, you know, it can't be one way and the other way, because if we go to that model where, let's say, we have three parishes that are going to become one parish, but we live stream
to the other buildings, yeah, and then somebody just distributes communion to them. Like, why doesn't that work?
Right, because for us, celebrating the Eucharist, being in the presence of our Lord for the holy sacrifice of the Mass,
physically present. We're talking
difference.
About real presence, so our real presence there, not that to draw that
like
a little
further
out.
The bishops gave us they allowed us for a period of a national emergency for us to be able to live stream, okay? And there are occasions where a homebound person, for instance, can receive Holy Communion because that's their their only option. But in a particular area, right, we all have the opportunity to be able to not just receive the Eucharist, thanks be to God, in our diocese. We have that opportunity both now and we will in the future. But we're supposed to be there. We're actually obligated by our Lord to be there for the sacrifice, the holy sacrifice of the Mass.
Yeah, so that's an excellent point. So for that period of time, it was just not possible. The obligation was dispensed with, but now since it is so important for us to be present at that holy sacrifice of the Mass, this is what we believe as Catholics, and it's the Church as the body of Christ knows that it's so important for us to do that. We need to be physically present there. If for some reason we're not able to, like I'm homebound, I just can't drive, I can't do anything like that, then I'm not obligated to do what's impossible.
Right.
So that's, and the Church has always held that. So that, thanks for shedding a little bit more light and clarity on that. I want to go to another comment. So this is, how could this proposed model better support evangelization and outreach? This person says, this is a Holy Trinity parishioner from Zor. It can't support those elements as it would ignore 25% of the county. This person asks, kind of, are there plans to allow this new church to continue? And I think this, like, it means if they were ever merged together with the ministerial association of the current area. Also, they continue, the hierarchy should trust the laity. Currently, the laity have no official say in the operation of the church. Is that true?
Well, I think that can be.
And this might be this person's experience.
Right. I think it can be a perception, okay. You know. And is there some truth to that? I mean, in the sense that, you know, Pope, Bishop, and so on are the ones who are the official ordinary ministers of the Church, right?
Okay.
But, you know, again, I just go back to my own experience as a pastor and the experience of other pastors I know throughout our diocese. And I don't think that is true at all in the sense that most of us are running parishes where the laity are very much not only involved, but they're involved with leadership. You know, so for instance, a lot of us priests have these things called SLTs, senior leadership teams. And we're running the parish with a group of laity where we're just no longer the one who's making all the decisions. And thanks be to God, I can say that personally, that to make it with a group of other people, laity, parishioners, has been a great weight off of my back. Plus, it's being done better because there's a lot more input than just the ingenuity or the time or the limitations or the preferences of the priest.
And as we've seen, our time, our energy, our ingenuity, all those things said, are limited, mm-hmm. You know, and when it comes to, you know, the end of the day and well, that might sound like a good idea, but if I'm a pastor without a leadership team around me, I'm going to say no, because I can't do that. Yeah. I can't even wrap my mind around what that might look like to my schedule.
Now,
but if we got
now
the kind of lay involvement, that it helps people.
Now, are all of our priests doing that? No, but that's certainly as part of what's being proposed overall for Real Presence, Real Future. This is one of those tools, if you will, in the tool belt of Real Presence, Real Future that people like Father Adam and Liz Christie and others have been working on for the last 2 years, is to be able to hand these tools off to priests.
And that's and so for this person, just acknowledging this person's experience, well, if it doesn't seem like they have much of a voice or much of a say in leadership of the church where a particular parish is going, like Pope Francis keeps encouraging us to accompany, just acknowledging that that's been their experience is a good thing for us.
Yeah.
And it's something that we want to do as priests, and to say, like, yeah, we heard you. We do want to, if we can make that situation better, we want to. And that's precisely what we're doing in Real Presence, Real Future, as is just soliciting as much feedback and input as we can possibly manage. And it's honestly, it's a little unwieldy. It's a lot to take in. That's why I'm glad we've got the lay involvement of the commission to help us kind of sift through this, because we do want to give it the time and the attention that it,
well,
that it
deserves. Well, and even just the input in round one, round two, and now round three, by the time we got to round three, we grew a great deal more of people who are sitting in the pews giving us feedback.
We're continuing to review it, and I'm glad that you are, and all of us here at the diocese, the commission members, and it's been a good journey so far, and we're going to continue to take those steps forward. Thanks a lot for the conversation, Father.
Thanks, Father Mike.